Okay, welcome everybody to our work session, or the Gustavus City work session for CARES Act funding. It's August 12th, 2020, 5:30. I have today with me Phoebe, and so Phoebe will do a quick roll, and then we'll just launch right into it. So Phoebe, if you want to do a quick roll, and we'll go from there.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Here.
Councilmember Warner?
Present.
Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
Councilmember Vanderzanden?
Here.
Mayor Cassapit?
Here.
Councilmember Owens?
Here.
Councilmember Clark? All right, we have six members present.
Okay, great. Thanks, Phoebe. Before we started, I just wanted to let folks know about where we're at here. As you all know, all this money has to be spent by December 31st, or it goes back. We need to spend, I did some rough math, and we need to spend about $135,000 yet before we get our next payment. So I just thought I'd start off kind of with those two thoughts in mind. And then I was going to turn it over to what's that? Okay. Phoebe's going to call Joe real quick, and then Okay, thanks, Council, for your patience. Joe Clark will be on here in a second, and then with that, I'll have Tom start us off, and then we'll go from there. Once I see Joe show up here on my screen. Okay, I'm just going to have Tom start, and when Joe Clark gets on, he can probably just catch up. He's probably seen, hopefully seen this this document that Tom sent out earlier. Anyway, Tom, go ahead, and you can start us off.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. Good evening. So we did some last minute number crunching to update everybody where we are with our funds to this point. As you can see, we received the 381,144. We still have two other installments available to us at 125,268. As the mayor mentioned, we have to spend 80% of the 381 amount before we're eligible for the first installment of the 125. So far to date, we've spent approximately $170,000. We have quite a bit of money still available to us before the end of the year, $461,770. And these are fairly accurate. We still have some money out there pending. We don't really know what it's going to look like. For example, the small business nonprofit grant program. We set aside $150,000. We still have about $114,000 left. So when we're looking at some of these numbers, we recognize that there's we're very conservative. It's probably more than what we're identifying at this point that that might help as we start looking at some of the other projects. So as you can see, we have it broken down into what we talked about previously. Now, there has been additional information from Susan and Brittany, but that's not incorporated in this document. I'm sure we'll cover that later on. We have the delivery assistance still out there, the $1,000 identified for that project, if that comes forward. And we'll still have additional staff time that we'll be able to utilize these funds for. There's been some information provided by Susan and Brittany on winter food supply. Susan actually has a couple other projects there. We haven't heard anything on the medevac insurance, so there's no dollar amount with that. I also included some of the medium priority items that departments had submitted. As you remember, council said to go ahead and fund the priority items. We've gone through that. We've done pretty good about procuring those items. And these tables are identifying the medium category items that you feel would be helpful as we move forward in working through the COVID period. One new item on there is the library's request to continue one of the intern positions. It's on the last page. You can see the breakdown. There's a couple of options. The librarians have found that having the intern sorting, cleaning, isolating materials as they come in and getting materials ready to go out has been a huge time saver. As you know, we don't have any volunteers right now, and the scheduling with Bree has been not at its normal amount, and therefore time to do some of these additional duties that are COVID related have been taxing on Jen in order for her to get her normal stuff finished. So staff is also proposing either the 6 hour a week or the 9 hour a week option to run till the end of the year with one of the interns continuing for that period. So that's all I had to present. I know that Susan and Brittany also had information to present. I'm not sure how the mayor wants to go forward, but if there's any questions, I'm happy to respond to those. Thank you.
Yes, so let me pause at this juncture here to make sure that council's clear, both on what you submitted here and then the well, we'll move on to the spreadsheet that Phoebe sent out earlier has some more details in it as well. So if you've got questions on that, Phoebe's here to answer that as well. So is there any questions from the council as far as what Thomas presented or the spreadsheet that Phoebe sent around earlier, I guess last week, earlier this week, Monday. Okay, any questions for, go ahead, Sue.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm curious in that there's 180,000 left that we need to spend to get the second payment. Does that account for the third quarter fire chief allocation of 40 something thousand in or not? Because that we know we're going to be charging, right?
I think Phoebe
that's
has
July the, through
the answer.
Go ahead, yeah. Phoebe.
No, that 400, the amount of money we need to spend to trigger the next payment does not include, we haven't included any more additional payroll beyond what we've been doing as we go, because that if we wait, if we're counting on the 40 grand to trigger the next payment, that includes all the way through December. And so that's too late to receive another payment. And so I can look, give you approximately what each month's payroll has been going, but our amount spent to date includes payroll through the end of July. And so the amount remaining would include part of that chunk of money would 40 grand of that money would go to payroll, but not soon enough to trigger another another installment necessarily.
Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, just one more question on Tom's, what Tom presented on the library. That thank you for providing the info that the request was through the end of the year to December 31st. That was helpful. And let's see, I forgot my question. I'm having a hard time concentrating tonight. Bear with me, I'll be back.
Joe, you had a question? Go ahead, Joe Clark.
I didn't have a question. I just wanted to apologize for being late, and I'm here now. Hopefully I can get up to speed.
Yeah, Joe, basically went through that little two-page document that Tom sent out this afternoon, and then I also asked her questions on Phoebe's spreadsheet that she sent out on Monday. So that's kind of where we're at.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I thought what we'd do now is talk about some of the proposals that have been put forward. I think one of the things that was on this two-pager that Tom sent out was the proposal for just a payment to residents based on PFDs, or I think it was based on PFDs. So I thought maybe what we could do is talk about each of these new proposals, go through them, just kind of how we think about them, and if they seem like they deserve some further development, we'll get staff working on them and purchasing them or what have you. Susan, you had a hold on.
Yeah, sorry, I had a mind fart there for a minute. Yeah, I remembered my question for Tom. It was about, do we have a plan for reopening from the library yet in terms of how they are seeing what reopening means and what that's going to mean for what job duties they have to have? And is there any kind of plan yet? So that's one. And then the second thing is, before we delve into a item by item review of requests for funding, can we revisit what the foundational purpose of these funds is supposed to be in support of the economic injury to businesses, and particularly with respect to employment, and as for expenses for the reimbursement of expenses caused by COVID-19? So can we keep that reference point in mind as we look at line by line additional expenditures? Thanks.
Okay, so to respond to the library opening plan, as with all the city facilities, right now we're ensuring that safety and well-being is the top priority. So we're acquiring all of the items that we had ordered that was on the list from the first round of funding, and recognizing that the purpose is to ensure for the staff, volunteers, patrons, you know, keeping the community healthy. The status of the library operations, once the new equipment, PPEs and the other materials to help with that safety aspect of it is in place, we will evaluate an operation strategy and run that by the council to ensure that we're all on the same page. We have been in discussions as about how that's going to look, but we have to weigh in factors like what kind of caseload is the community seeing? Are we at the end of our visitor season in which we don't have to necessarily be concerned with folks coming in, tourist type businesses? Is the community ready to start with visiting city facilities? So there is a plan in development. It's contingent on different variables for the community on how exactly that opening operation will look like. In terms of the purpose of the funding, it's economic recovery, providing economic stimulus for those businesses that were injured, economically injured by the pandemic. In addition, it's for residents to be able to continue with a level of quality of life that is consistent with what they've been experiencing. And that's why you see so many programs to help with folks being able to afford food, getting ability to not be put out of their homes, all that long list of different purposes that provide to residents, community people, to be able to survive through this pandemic period where employment isn't readily available or employment at the level that they're used to is not available. So it's kind of a two-pronged approach. It's a business nonprofit recovery approach, which will also help with people's ability to put food on the table, pay for utility bills, and stay in the place that they're residing. I hope that helps, Susan.
Mike, you had a question? Go ahead.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, follow up on that, on Susan's question and your response, Tom. One thing I haven't understood is what the allowance is for doing projects that just employ people like the trail crew that Juno's got going, and Susan's got had a good idea for employing some people for trail improvements and so forth here that would have long-term benefits. It's never been clear to me how that qualifies for the funding, since it's not something we're doing specifically because of impacts of COVID, other than we can employ people. And so maybe you could explain what the opportunities are there for spending, you know, money on something that's not really related to COVID, but does employ people and benefits the community otherwise. Thanks.
That's a really great question, Mike. And we're not the only one who are asking that. Other communities have put projects forward very similar to that. One of the holdups is we're not hearing back from the state. Phoebe submitted our March, April, May reimbursements. Correct me if I'm too far off there, Phoebe, but I think it's been like 2 months ago, and we haven't heard back from them. I've left a couple of messages to see how we were doing in terms of our reporting, because I would like to know if, for example, staff time is being approved so that we're recognizing just what kind of impact that will have on our budget. But the premise, based on all the conversations we had on the, or that I had with the different groups, AML and the city attorney, who again represents other communities, is that the idea of employing people is similar to the idea of giving aid. You're putting money in these folks' pocket through programs, the same objective. So I think there's some legitimacy to a local hire trail crew. I don't think it would apply to hiring a crew out of, say, Washington to come up and do the work. So if the project is a local hire kind of project, I think, depending on how it's worded, it would be eligible. And I think some of those have some promise. I think the key is how we word it. Does that answer your question, Mike?
Yeah, pretty much. I suppose we could maybe couch it in terms of a need to shift our visitor industry, I mean, our visitor offer to some things that people can do that maybe don't involve being packed together on a charter boat or something like that. There, you know, that we might be able to make the case that if people could maybe not want to do charter fishing or something because they got to be closely packed together, but they would like to come and hike trails where they're spread out and that sort of thing. So there might be some rationale around that, but it does sound a little vague to me, and I'd like to do a trail project like Susan's, I think, preparing to suggest for us tonight. If we could manage it, and if we have some assurance that they actually are going to pay us for it. Thanks for your.
One thing I would mention, the risk is still there. The assurance is what we've been trying to get from the state, which we haven't. So remember, if we go ahead and fund a project and we submit our report, and the state says, no, that's not eligible, then we're still on the hook for that money that we spent. Because it's a reimbursement program, it isn't like we could submit the report to see if it gets funded and then fund the project. So there's some risk involved in areas that are not clear on whether or not they would be eligible. Just throw that out as a reminder.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Any more questions for Tom or Phoebe, for that matter, on anything that we've covered up till now before we move on to the specific new? Okay, we'll move on to the specific proposals. Let's start with Brittany's email that she sent out earlier. Brittany, did you want to lead us off?
Sure, thanks. Sorry for getting that email sent out a little bit before the meeting. I was trying to make sure I had all my communication ducks in a row. So hopefully you guys all got a chance to look over this proposal. Would like to see us put this money towards is buying about 250 cans of sockeye and smoked silver, so 10 cases of each, so 120 cans of each types of fish. And then I've been in contact with Kimber, and she has offered up her garage as a storage facility until we can distribute the fish. And I spoke with Denise Vanderpool today about her experience with the Secret Santa program, because after doing math, 249 cans is not a lot at 6 ounces. I figure 6 ounces is about one serving per person. And so I had this idea of pairing the salmon distribution with some of the other food distribution that happens throughout the winter. And after speaking with Denise, she liked the idea of pairing it with the Secret Santa distribution, which she has helped out with. And I believe that's usually around 2 days before Christmas. And it gets paired with moose, if there's an illegal moose shot, and processed through the community, as well as turkey and ham and potatoes and other canned foods. So it would be a part of a larger group of food. And so that is my proposal. That's what I would like to spend some of this money on.
Okay, council, questions, comments for Brittany? Susan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, thank you, Brittany, for following through on that proposal. I think it's a great idea. And hooking it up with the Secret Santa program just before Christmas. That's been a very successful program for a couple of years now. And there's a very large and fun community participation in that whole effort. So I think it's a great idea. It does take our CARES money and give it to a Juneau business rather than keeping the money here in town. But nonetheless, I think that my understanding of the original intent of CARES Act money, and maybe Tom can speak to this, did include doing food bank, food security kinds of applications. So I think this would be a really great idea. Thanks for following up with it. And I've got an additional food distribution proposal to follow.
Yep, Susan, we'll get to, but I just want to finish up talking about Brittany's one here first. I see Tom Williams putting his thumbs up, so I think you were right, Susan, that this is one of the primary purposes of the CARES Act funding is food security. So you're right on there. For the Secret Santa program, for the amount of people that they reach and touch, I really think we ought to be doing double that. And for $4,000, if we can really do something significant for those Secret Santa packs, I'm all for it. And I don't know, what does the rest of the council think? It seems like 120 cans each of each species is not going to go very far with the with the Secret Santa distributions. Anyway, Brittany, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I really appreciate that comment. I was wanting to sort of lean towards the conservative side, but realize that we do have quite a bit of funding left and would totally be on board with purchasing more. Thank you.
So, Council, is there any objections for me directing staff to pursue Brittany is suggesting, pursuing getting 20 cases of each? So that would make it a little short of 4,000 for that line item. Is there any objection for me directing staff to start making that happen? Okay, doesn't appear to be. Thank you, Brittany, for putting the work in and getting this figured out. I'm sure Tom or Phoebe and all will be getting and working with you to carry this through. So, and I hope you'll continue to coordinate with Secret Santa stuff and getting it distributed. So, thanks again. Oh.
Yeah. Thank you. I'd be happy to continue working with staff on this project. I was also wondering if you wanted me to speak to anything about the root cellar, or I can wait until later in the meeting.
Well, no, since you're here and you brought it up, let's get an update on the root cellar, and then we'll move on to some of these we'll move on to Susan's proposals, and then there's a couple more we need to talk about too. But go ahead and bring us up to date on the root cellar.
Okay, thank you. So after our meeting last week, last Monday's meeting, I was speaking with Mike a bit about the placement of the root cellar, and we were specifically talking about whether it would be more beneficial to have it on the community center property or the Gustavus Community Garden property, since that's already city owned. And Mike, you can jump in here anytime if I'm missing some stuff or you want to fill in some gaps. But the GCC was planning on having this subject on their meeting last Thursday, but it sounds like they had a pretty full agenda, so they didn't get around to it. But as far as I understand, it seems like all of the voting members of the board are willing and on board with putting the root cellar on their property. The root cellar structure, the connex structure, is currently at Elms. It's also my understanding that they still need some funding. So Elm has put forth all the money and he is getting paid back as the money comes in. So after speaking with Laura Marcus, who is the director of the RIT project, who I think is sort of spearheading this project, it seems like if the city could contribute $3,000 to $5,000 towards the project, that would really be beneficial. And the other part of this is if the city was willing to become the owner of the root cellar, and then maybe volunteer groups or an employee or somebody perhaps from the community garden could spearhead putting together a group to formalize the, you know, the building of the structure and the running of it, sort of the administrative side. Mike, did
I think it's great if the community center can host this facility. It's more convenient there, I guess, for most people than the garden, except for people that are growing stuff in the garden and might store it, you know, at a root cellar right there. But for most use, I think the community center is a great site. It seems to me we could contribute CARES Act funds towards that project without the city needing to own it. And they could still operate it with a group of volunteers under the, you know, guidance, I guess, and ownership of the community center. But I think if it's on community center property, it's best if it's community center just owns it and we can help buy it in the first place with the CARES Act money. That'd be my view. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. If I could just add something to that before we allow it or open it up to the rest of the council. It's my understanding that the community center is not interested in owning it. Judy Brakels also reached out to members of the community garden, the Gustavus Chapel Ariete project, and nobody wants to take ownership of the structure. So I think that is the biggest hiccup that this project is facing at the moment.
Joe Vanderzanden, did you have a comment?
I just wanted to say I was in agreement with Mike on that one. I would not be in favor of the city assuming ownership of such a project. Thanks.
Susan, you had a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I'm in agreement. I would not support the city taking ownership of the project. If the folks who want the project want it to go forward, they need to figure out who's going to take ownership of it. Thank you.
Shelley, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This may be a little premature, but I was wondering if there are ongoing operational needs, such as electrical utility, heat, fans. I'm just wondering if that will be an expense of as part of running the operation.
Can I go ahead and answer that, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead, Brittany.
Thanks. So when I was talking with Laura Marcus, it seemed she kind of gave me like a rough ballpark of $12,000 total, and that would be including the wiring of the structure. I'm not sure about the fans or ventilation. Shelley, that's a good question, and I can look into that if the council would like me to. And there was also mention of potentially using solar panels, but I'm not sure how much merit that has at this stage.
Mike Taylor, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd clarify that I'm not against the city owning it if it's on city property, such as at the community garden. And I think it would be very easy to run the little bit of power they'd need for lights or perhaps a ventilation fan with a single solar panel. Jim Muscoviac has a panel that he uses to run things at his greenhouse, and it seems to me that there's very little power required, and with a little guidance from Jim's experience, we could power the thing with solar and not have to run power to it, because running power to it, especially if it's quite a run, would be very expensive, and solar power and a battery would be quite cheap, actually. So I think it is doable, but I just didn't want to have us owning something on somebody else's property that's a potential conflict with other uses they'd have and could cause problems in the future. If we're going to own it, we should do it on our own property somewhere. Now, and maybe there's some other locations. The city has property at the old post office site, for example. And of course, we have that large tract across from Marchbanks, that triangular shaped piece of property. It's got quite a bit of space on it. So there would be places we could put it on city property. Thanks.
Any more comment or discussion on the root cellar? It kind of sounds like we need to needs to be a little bit more work, but go ahead, Brittany.
So moving forward from here, I guess I'm wondering if I can get some direction from the council on which avenue to continue to work towards. Would the city council be interested in putting forth money for the root cellar to help get it going, say $3,000 to $5,000, and just leave it at that? Or would we like to have me contact the entities that are currently involved and suggest putting the root cellar on city property instead of at the community center?
Council, any thoughts on that idea? I'm kind of, to me, it's almost not an either or. I think we can say that we'll commit to $3,000 to $5,000 if you build it on the community center, and if you build it on our property, maybe we might be able to go more, but I'm not sure what the council wants to do with this. Seems like $3,000 to $5,000 to have it on this community center property seems reasonable, but what does the rest of the council? Go ahead, Brittany.
Thanks. I guess maybe I'll speak to this since I've had the most contact with the folks. It seems to me that the biggest issue right now is that multiple organizations want this project to go forward, but nobody is, for whatever reason, I'm sure a numerous amount of reasons, is willing to be the owner. So in my view, the most helpful thing that the city could do, if it was willing, is to propose putting the structure on city property. With that being said, I want to go about proposing that if the council wants to, in a respectful way, because I feel like the city is a latecomer to this conversation and I don't want to step on anybody's toes. But I do think that that's the most helpful thing that we can propose. And if not, I would like us to see, or to see us put some money towards the project if we do not want to put it on city property.
Okay, so is there objections for Brittany to go ahead and talk to the groups about this, or go ahead, Susan.
Well, I think there needs to be a more worked out plan of responsibility for how this project is actually going to operate and function. I'm totally opposed to it being the responsibility of the city. If the people who are supporting this project want it to happen, they need to come up with a plan for how it can happen. I'm absolutely against having city staff, increasing city staff to take responsibility for this project. So I don't have any objection to contributing some money for it to be not on city property. But I'm totally opposed to committing the city to responsibility for the project in the future. Thank you.
Shelley, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with Susan. I think in particular, if we're facing $12,000 in electrical wiring, regardless of the ongoing expense, I hate to add to our budget, and I hate to commit ourselves to something that we don't know what the operation maintenance costs in the future are going to be. And I would certainly support, you know, providing, you know, contribution to another entity if they want to go forward with it.
Brittany, go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a clarifying comment. I'm sorry if I misspoke. The $12,000 is not specifically for wiring the structure. That the wiring is included in that $12,000. That's the purchase of the structure that was getting it here. So I just wanted to make that clarifying comment. Thanks.
Well, I'm hearing that there's not a whole lot of support for us owning this and operating it. So I guess until that gets resolved, all we can really offer is contributing to getting one. So is there any objections to offering $3,000 to $5,000 to whoever is going to to get this root cellar? I mean, that's something we can help with, at least is provide some money. All right, we're gonna, Phoebe said she'll put a little placeholder in there for us helping with a root cellar. Let's move on to Susan's email that she sent out earlier. There was three things on there: the food distribution, the rust, and then the trails program that she was proposing. So Susan, I'll let you take it from there, I guess. Do you want to talk about your food distribution proposal and the other two as well? Maybe we'll take them one at a time so that we can ask questions. Let's take them one at a time. So,
yes, Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, at the Economic Stabilization Task Force meetings, on the third one on food production capacity and food security, along with the proposal to buy pre-canned salmon, there was a proposal from a couple of people to also try to do some kind of proxy fishing strategy to obtain, put down skates and obtain some halibut, and then have local volunteers freeze the halibut and make it available. This could also be distributed. However, the city council decided to do it. So I put a placeholder in here of $3,600 for halibut and also moose. The school is likely to apply for a moose permit. And if they get one, then there might be, as there has in the past, be a community effort to package that up and make it available for local consumption. So in this item one, $3,600 community food distribution proposal, it would be to buy a couple of pieces of equipment in support of the local community being able to process food a little more at scale. And so I proposed, we proposed a commercial grade chamber vacuum sealer at approximately $1,000 and a commercial grade meat sausage grinder at approximately $600 for being able to process moose or deer if some kind of proxy hunting or community distribution permit makes that available. For the fishing side of it, here's a placeholder estimation of about $500 per day to ask somebody to volunteer to go out and proxy fish for folks under, I guess, what's called a shark permit for local subsistence consumption. Of paying $500 per day for a boat trip, $300 for the boat, the gas, and the gear with volunteer fishers, and $200 per day for that yield for packaging supplies. So we could choose to have up to four trips at $2,000. Kimber has very kindly offered to store equipment at her garage, which is a certified kitchen. But have gear that's portable, so it could also be used at the school or at the community center as needed. And Kimber has also volunteered to organize the volunteer freezing canning teams. So $3,600 worth of food to address, halibut and also meat or moose or deer meat distribution as well. And this could easily be added into the Secret Santa distribution that occurs. So there's proposal number one.
Okay, thanks, Susan. I think we have some questions for you. Mike Taylor, go ahead.
Are we square with fish and game rules on this, paying somebody to do this? Do we get into conflicts with either if the person has a commercial license and can they do this on the same boat? Is it legal to pay somebody to do this, or does it maybe have to be done without pay under state law? There'd be some things like that that I think we'd want to make sure we have straight. Thanks.
This is Mayor Cassabit. Thank you. Susan, do you mind if I handle this one? I do know a little bit about the federal subsistence program for halibut. It is managed under the Department of Commerce, National Marine Fisheries Service. You are right, it's called a shark card. As long as the halibut isn't actually being sold, what Susan is proposing is permissible and has been done in the past. Reimbursing community subsistence fishers for their boat, for gas and boat and their gear is traditional and has been approved in the past and hasn't caused any problems in the past. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. It's under federal subsistence regulations. Susan, go ahead. You had a hand.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I appreciate your extensive background in this area. So I would be happy to hear from other members of the council whether they would support such an idea for $3,600.
Well, I'll jump in since nobody else is. I support this idea, and I think it's a good idea. You know, as far, you know, I was speaking to halibut. I'm not so sure about deer. That's another issue. That is definitely something we would have if we're going to harvest there. That's definitely something we're going to have to talk to either the feds or the state, depending where we're going to hunt. Deer is, or moose is definitely going to be through the state. You know, I can help folks manage the permitting process through that. For folks who would be harvesting, we can work through the intricacies of who we ask and who we get the permit from. I think it's doable, and I do think it's a good use of our CARES Act funds, and especially it supports community volunteer work in the community. So I'm all for it. Shelley, did you have?
Yeah, I think it's spot on. I think it's a great idea, supporting both community labor, and I suspect that as time goes on and this virus gets worse probably before it gets better, that we may be having more food insecurity in the community. I would encourage, I guess, looking into state regs with regard to fish and game that Mike mentioned, just to make sure we're not running into conflicts with salmon catch. But I think it's a well thought out and a superb idea. I commend Susan and her organization, her group, for coming up with it.
I see other thumbs up from council members, so I think we'll proceed with this one. Just a note for Phoebe, let's make this 4,000, round it up to 4,000, because I know those vacuum sealers a few years ago were going for $999.99. It may be more now. So let's make sure there's enough to cover the cost of any increase in the cost of those vacuum sealers. Tom, you have your hand raised. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. Susan, since I'm going to probably be writing either the endorsement on the report or maybe some work on the proposal, how is the distribution determined? You mentioned Secret Santa. Is this something that any member of the community would apply to? Is it a committee that determines? How did we do the distribution? Thank
you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, Tom, thanks for that question. I think the distribution is a key piece. Traditionally, the Secret Santa effort has been open to anyone in the community can nominate anyone else to be a recipient. And in the past, this traditionally is done a couple of days before Christmas, and there's been upwards of at least 60 people who receive boxes of food delivered to their home. So It's open to anyone in the community to nominate anyone who they think would be a good recipient of this. So, and, you know, it's kind of got a community tradition behind it. So that's why I would see that as probably a reasonable way to go ahead, especially if, as Brittany was talking about earlier, the Little Red Church folks, Denise Vanderpool and those folks have been, you know, extraordinarily generous and helpful at food distribution in the community and looking out particularly for people who might be experiencing challenges to their quality of life. So if there's a coordination between the city, the Little Red Church and the Secret Santa volunteer gang, I think that that would probably be a successful way to go.
Okay, thank you. Mom gave me the thumbs up, so I think she didn't need any follow-up to that. So do you want to go, is there any other questions or any other discussion on the 4,000 or so for community food distribution? Okay, we're going to move on. So Susan, do you want to go ahead to your Ross proposal?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, I couldn't resist the acronym, but anyway, I may be jumping the train here, but there's a request to be reviewed by the CARES Business Act Review Committee tomorrow morning, talking about trying to enable people who, because of COVID-19, might not, in loss of employment or loss of income, might not be able to afford the annual maintenance on their monitor heaters and trying to figure out some mechanism to help folks who need help with that. And so I was thinking that perhaps we could come up with rather than handing out, you know, blank checks to people, come up with a coupon or voucher system where people could apply COVID money to trying to address help with residential utility support. So that folks could apply for a $250 off voucher to either get their annual stove maintenance work done or get heating fuel purchased, and it would have to be purchased sometime between August 1 and November 15, or pay for their electricity in that same qualifying time period. And it would only be one voucher per family who would have to be residents under the same terms that the CARES Act business support grants have been awarded for the last couple of weeks. And I estimated, you know, first come, first serve for the first 100 people, which would be $25,000. So that's the proposal to help, to take CARES Act money to help people who are the most impacted financially from our downturn in tourism and local income.
Hey, council, any thoughts, comments for Susan? Any comments or questions for Susan on her proposal for the REST program? Mike, go ahead.
I guess I'm wondering again whether we're going to have any trouble qualifying this one. That's one question I'd have. And then there's the other, maybe it's a basic philosophical thing about whether it is better to fund certain specific things that we want people to spend money on or we think they may need to, versus giving them the money and letting them decide whether they should put it to stove maintenance or electricity or maybe pay down some debt. That would be another, in other words, maybe people make the best decisions on how to spend the money if we don't tell them exactly what they have to spend it on. So those are a couple of thoughts that I have. But otherwise, I think it's probably okay because just about everybody has an electricity bill, at least even if they don't have heating oil, they've got an electricity bill. And so that would certainly offset money and that they would spend otherwise for that. And then they can, you know, since it's fungible, they can use that money for whatever they need, what they save. So, well, maybe I'm just complicating things with those thoughts, but I think it's probably.
Okay, Susan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, thank you, Mr. Councilmember Taylor. The idea here is that the payment would be to the local businesses, not to the individual residents, so that it would be in support of our local businesses. And as I understood the CARES Act, the intentions for the CARES Act money, paying rent and utilities was something that was included in the allowable expenses.
Tom is giving his thumbs up, so I think you were right on that interpretation. With your last, when you started talking about where the money would be given directly to the business instead of, I'm not sure I'm on board anymore. A couple issues I have is that it's for 100 families, and I'm not sure how we would. I mean, you said first come, first serve, but is there any limitation? Is there income limitations? Is there, I don't know what's proposed there. If it's 100 people first come, first serve, 100 families first come, first serve, I don't know what the difference that is from just cutting everybody a check, which I'm kind of with Mike on. I would prefer that folks have the choice of how they spend that whatever money we give them to support their utilities and rent or what have you. Somebody may want to do electricity. Somebody want to do fuel oil. Somebody might want to do stove maintenance. Sure. There's somebody may want to buy firewood. There's somebody may that want to put gasoline in their rig so that they can go cut firewood. I guess I'm with Mike as far as trying to leave people enough choice that they spend the money on what they feel is best for their own individual circumstances. Anyway, any other thoughts? Okay, any other thoughts on this idea of a Rust program that's paid directly to the vendor? Susan, go ahead.
Yeah, Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to reiterate that there is a difference between just giving people a check and paying money to the vendor to help support our local businesses. And in my mind, doing it that way is more in keeping with the intention of the CARES Act funding allocation. But there are, I will admit that there are other towns who have decided to just, you know, hand out free money. So I would like to think that we could figure out, and in particular, helping people to be able to enable themselves to stay warm this winter.
Go ahead, Mike.
I'm just wondering about the mechanics of distributing this. How do you know whether to give $100, say I apply for this, how do you know whether to give $100 to AP&T for me or to somebody who does stove maintenance, or how do you make that work? What are the mechanics of this? Do we just, maybe you give us a $100 voucher and then when we buy the service, we give them our voucher plus any additional we owe on the bill, and then they cash the voucher in with the city. Is that sort of how it would work? Thanks.
Susan, do you have an answer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In previous discussion with Phoebe, I was kind of imagining that this would work the same way that the home heating assistance program works, where the DRE would bill the city directly, or APT would bill the city directly, and you know they could recover that cost. I don't know, Phoebe would be much more able to address this, but I think there might be some models set up for us for how to do it, because we're only talking three or four vendors, maybe five, because of who does stove work. So it would be a very finite number of entities to have to negotiate with. Maybe Phoebe would like to address that.
Okay, Phoebe can address that, but I'll just start off. It sounds like a lot of work for
Thank you. I think that this, we'd have to see what the vendors would want to do and if they would be comfortable with accepting a voucher to be submitted to the city for reimbursement. I think writing, for in terms of the workload, that writing a check to five or whatever different vendors is a lot easier than 100 different people. And we could also, when somebody came in to apply for it or submitted an application for it, we could simply write a check to the vendor of their choice and hand it to the person, and then they could give it to the vendor themselves when they had to pay the bill, as opposed to us being middlemen or requiring the vendors to bill us. They could just give us the, I guess we wouldn't have a copy of their, for wanting it to be invoiced within a certain period, but that might not work. I guess if they showed us the bill, we could write the check to the vendor and then they could take it or something. So I think there'd be some things to work out, but I think in terms of first come, first serve, I wouldn't put a cap on it. I think that if we spent all 25 grand that we would probably consider increasing the amount to accommodate the households in town. And this has all been a lot of work for me, and that's just fine. It's just what it is. We were going to contract a grant administrator for the local economic assistance grant, and I'm doing that. So it's just another thing to keep working on. It's definitely doable. And I think people would appreciate it.
Okay, any additional comment from council members on this? Go ahead, Mike.
maybe we don't put an upper limit on this program. You know, we only allow one per qualified family, that is residential qualified family. And we just get reimbursements based on, we apply for reimbursements based on whatever, you know, however many of these things are actually given out, rather than trying to guess exactly the number. We're probably not going to use all of our available money anyway, so I'm not sure that having an upper bound on this one is absolutely necessary. Thank you.
Well, I guess it still comes down to me anyway, it still comes down to the question of are we going to pay the vendors on behalf of our residents, or are we going to just give the money to the residents and they spend the money they want? I mean, because if we weren't going to put an upper limit on it, it makes sense to just say everybody gets $250 to spend how they want. Or we can say everybody gets $250, then they can submit invoices to us and then we'll pay those vendors on their behalf, which seems like a lot of extra work. Joe Clark, go ahead.
I think this is a worthy idea, and but I think we ought to proceed as you said, it's a heavy workload for Phoebe, and what would be easiest for her? To pay individuals or to pay the vendor?
Okay, Mike, go ahead.
I thought of another way to simplify this. Almost everybody has an AP&T electricity bill. And so if we use this only with AP&T, then it would be quite simple. Everybody who applies is due a credit of $250 on their AP&T bill. So for everybody who applied, you multiply that number by 250 and send AP&T a check. And the names of those people who are to be credited, and then they get that much credit on their account, and it's spent right then. Even if it took them beyond December to actually use $250 worth of electricity, we would have spent it on buying their credit. So, and then you'd only have to send one check to one outfit that way. And people, since they're that way, people are getting that much money off of their electricity bill, and they can use the savings for whatever they want.
Boy, Mike, I really like that idea. I really like that idea. Oh, other councilors? Susan, did you have something?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to point out that AP&T is a Skagway registered company, so it would be taking our care, also spending it here.
Tom, go ahead.
So I'm not really clear on how we do ability use an example from a federal program or something. We still need to develop that. We still need to send out the notices, get the applications back, sort them. It isn't just cutting a check. So, I'm not sure the difference of cutting a check to a utility for a credit or cutting a check to a family for use as they need it. Maybe they just use firewood, but they need food. I'm just not clear on the mechanics, and since we'll probably be implementing the program, there's still some holes that need to be filled. I just throw that out for consideration. Thank you.
Any other council comment? I don't see where we're getting anywhere on this one. Okay, we're gonna move on to the next one, because I don't think there's any consensus on which way to go over this. Susan, you want to talk about your trail improvement program?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The last proposal I've got here is for $60,000 for trail improvements to increase visitor activity opportunities, a goal that was expressed both by GBA's Cedar Marketing Group for restoring our local tourism, and also was recommended, as I believe, in the Glacier Bay National Park Front Country Plan to increase visitor activity opportunities. So I'm putting a placeholder here of $25,000 for dirt work and ditching, and $35,000 for some kind of part-time employment for trail boss and trail crew, similar to the part-time employment contracts that have been offered by for airport testers and the public information officer. So temporary assignments, but some employment opportunity locally to develop and improve some kind of hiking or loop trail. And I'm suggesting that occur at Gustavus Beach Park, but it could also be at some other location locally if the council felt there was a more important place to do it. So I think that there has been a lot of discussion about developing some kind of access for people at the Gustavus Beach Park to get to the river. And I had a very brief and tentative conversation with Ben DeBure today. He's in town this week. So if we wanted to try to pursue putting in some kind of a hiking trail loop there, I'm not proposing all the way to a hardened wheelchair route, but simply a hiking path that could be used by those people who are still ambulatory. In my mind, it might be awesome to
pursue the idea of some kind of trail to the river, put in a ditch and an embankment for putting in a walking trail that could then someday be developed into some kind of disability road access to the river, should the council decide to do that downstream. I had a brief conversation with Justin Marchbanks today to ask about, could some kind of disability access to the river be developed in a phased manner so that we could start with just developing a hiking trail, that the ditching and the dirt work that could be done could conceivably be parlayed down the road into putting in actual disability access. So this is a $60,000 placeholder of using CARES Act funding to recover our tourism by creating additional visitor activities.
Mike Taylor, go ahead.
Sorry, I feel like I'm talking too much as usual here, but I do like this idea, and I had one other location that I think would be quite suitable for this, and that's the route off of the end of Dickey Drive down to the beach. That got beat up years ago by ATV traffic that created big ruts, and it's about 4,000 feet from the end of Dickey Drive down to the beach. And that could be a pretty significant project to build a decent trail down there, repair the damage from the old ATV traffic, and create a walking trail to the beach that route. We even could add possibly a little more parking space at the end of Dickey Drive as part of that graveled parking area. So there are some things like that that could be done also in addition to possibilities at the beach.
Okay, any other council? Shelley, go ahead.
For Mike, where is Dickey Drive?
Dickey Drive is when you go across the Good River, and it's the first main road on the left, and it goes down to where Whit Weaver's place is at the end, and that's on a section line. So there is a section line easement all the way to the beach along that route, and so we could build it within the easement without having any problems for getting access or getting an easement.
I like that idea. I think it's easy enough to get to the river now from various walkways. I'm not sure that they need to be developed. I like the idea of the Dickey Drive access, though.
Joe Vanderzan.
That access to the river, that would be part of the management agreement that we're covering, and it would have to meet the test of being appropriate to the collective desires of the citizens. And I don't know how that's going to fare if that's given a chance. A lot of people might like it, a lot of people might not, but I do think there's merit in that other trail down to the beach, Good River there.
Okay, this is Cal. I really like the concept of this. I really like the idea, but y'all have to think now. We have to spend this by December 31st. Quite frankly, we probably only have 2 months of field season left. Where the weather is decent and you're not digging in mud. And we got to hire these folks and figure out what project we're going to do and get it developed and get and figure out what we're going to do. It seems like a lot of work to get done in a short amount of time and to have this project look good and function the way it's supposed to. That's what I'm concerned about. I sure wish we would have started talking about this a couple months ago, because we just had 2 months of weather that we could have been working on trail. But that's just my experience with trail building and my experience with my previous life. But we don't have much time if we're Susan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I would favor the Dickey Road Trail down to the beach, especially considering that we wouldn't have permitting issues, and that might help facilitate getting on this right away. And quite frankly, considering our weather for the last 2 months, the next 2 months that we have, we could get it done. If there's the desire in the council to prove up on the recommendations of folks who are telling us we need to have more hiking trails and activities for independent travelers, let's just do it and go for it and get it done.
Tom, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. So looking at this, are we talking about hiring a local business to do this? Are we going to hire temporary staff to do this? Are we going to require that it's local employment? Once I have an idea about that, I think the project itself in concept is eligible, but I would like to run it by the city attorney. To ensure that the proposal or the plan that we have is eligible. I wouldn't want to be caught on some technicality. So a couple of questions and then a recommendation. Thank you.
Shall we go?
I guess I would suggest maybe contacting Trail Mix in Juneau to find out even if it's an option, if we are would be hiring someone. They do, you know, the trail work in Juneau.
Well, pardon me for breaking in here, but I think Susan was actually proposing that we would hire the crew, the boss and crew, similar to how we hired the temporary people for, say, the testing facility out at the airport. So the folks who would be working on this would be, correct me if I'm wrong, Susan, would be temporary city employees. Susan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I was focusing on a local employment opportunity, both for a contractor, there's a number of contractors who could do this work, and for a trail crew that could also do this work. I think it would be worthwhile, Shelley's point about contacting the trail crew in Juneau is a good one, because as I understand it, Juneau Borough Assembly is using CARES Act funding to stand up trail work there in Juneau. So
it might be useful to get some experience for them from them about the process of it.
Yes, thanks, Mr. Mayor. It would have to be a mix of labor and probably some contractor work, because we'd have to have gravel delivered for the and maybe some other equipment work, at least at least at the trailhead, even if the rest of it was done entirely manually. So it'd be kind of, I would see it as a mix there, that and somebody would have to kind of design this project and figure out how to manage it. I agree with you, Cal, that it is a management difficulty, and doing it in this short period of time is a real challenge. So that does worry me a little bit. But it still might be worth giving it a try. And even if we only built part of it and ran out of time or weather, we'd at least get some of it done. So might be worth giving it.
Well, Mike, you hit on my concern right off the top when you mentioned the word design. To me, that's the issue here, is we ought to have a good design in mind before we start down that trail, pardon the pun, because doing something that's not properly designed will do more harm than good, will make it worse than what it is. So that's what I'm concerned about, is having the proper design in place before, you know, having this all together, so that what we do out there makes sense and actually improves things. And that's what I'm concerned about. And that's what I'm concerned about having enough time for.
Thank you, Mayor. Just as a timeline reminder, if we have to do any RFQs or RFPs, that obviously extends the process, the amount of money we're looking at. We'd have to go through that procedure. So just add that to the timeline.
Shelley, go ahead.
I don't know what our timeline is for the next phase of funding, but perhaps we could phase this and just have the design contract go out first. Is there opportunity and time to do something like that?
Susan, go ahead.
Just saying that a design contract would not create an opportunity for local employment, which is one of the number one goals for the CARES Act money.
Let's get past seven. I want to move on here. Let's try to get through everything that's been brought up till now. I guess we can maybe figure out more on what this trail group would look like, but I'm not sure that there's, I'm not sure where the council is on this. Tom, go ahead. You have something.
Just thought that maybe if there's this out there that would like to take this project on, they could submit a proposal for a grant under the CARES Act. People who are, you know, familiar with this kind of work could probably put the details together quicker than staff could, and then we could have a grant for the council to consider, and it might streamline things. Otherwise, I think the timeline on this is going to give it, remember, it's a reimbursable program, so it's going to be down the road at least a couple months, and it might not be feasible at that point. But, you know, a business might submit a proposal for a grant, and that work could carry over. Just an idea.
Mike, did you have that?
Yes, Cal, I'd be happy to get together with you and Tom and any other people who want to kick around some ideas and see if we can find a way that looks like it's workable. There is expertise in the Park Service that we can draw on. I know Jake Olson has a lot of background in this, and there are other people who worked on trail crews for the park, and the Park Service actually has some folks who are willing to help communities on trails, and especially we can make the case that these trails sort of tie in with their front country plan. So we might be able to get some expertise from the Park Service on how to at least build a basic trail through that, along that section line, if that was the site we chose. We may also think of some other sites that are quicker or easier to do too. So if we get together and talk about it. So I'm willing to take it offline with you, Mr. Mayor, and see what we could develop.
Okay, that sounds really good. Maybe we can, let's pursue that. We'll do some talking. Might require us to go for a little walk too, so that's a good thing as well. Okay. The only two other things I had left was, and we sort of already talked about cash payments to residents, and that was in that same discussion we had about Rust. Let's talk really quickly about the proposal for extending the library intern, and then we'll end it with maybe a final discussion on cash payments. I'm not sure where everybody will come out on that, but. Real quick, let's talk about the library intern. So basically, we're looking at a little less than $2,000 for covering an intern to the end of the year to help with help the librarians with basically. Dealing with COVID, so I think it fits right into the primary purpose of the funds. Any comments on that from the council? So yeah, I'm basically advocating for that or situation of the intern available till for looks like 1955-70, so just short of 2,000, and that would cover the intern for 9 hours a week. I think that's reasonable. Council comment? I see thumbs up from Brittany, so. Joe Vanderson.
I was just wondering if a replacement for Bree had been hired yet.
Yes, well, that's a good question. And Tom, do you want to go ahead and handle that, or should I? You go ahead, Tom. You were the leader of the selection.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, we're pleased to announce that Michelle Snowden has accepted the offer to be the administrative library director. We're working on the paperwork and a starting date. She is aware of our timeline with Bree's availability and is going to be working diligently to maximize that opportunity. So thank you for the question, Joe.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so is there any objection to us moving ahead with the 9 hour per week intern at the library to assist with COVID operations? Susan, go ahead.
I would just like to request that before we continue to add, apparently weekly, even more staff hours to the library, that the city administrative staff produce some kind of a plan for how they anticipate moving forward that to opening and returning to full function that will include, as we promised in CY 19-17, some level of public input into what the library staffing situation is as we go forward. Other than that, continuing the intern until December, I would see, but not past that. Thank you.
Okay, we will we'll go ahead and have that intern stay on for a little bit. Thanks, folks. Let's see, that's the last thing on the agenda was the cash payments to residents, and I don't know if we need to discuss that anymore, but does anybody want to talk? Go ahead, Susan.
Well, I'll go on record as saying I don't support just handing cash payments to people in the community. I don't think it accomplishes what the CARES Act money was intended to do, which was to try to help our local businesses. Just giving people checks doesn't do that. So I'm opposed to that.
Okay, well, I'm concerned. Does not get us there. We either need to decide on doing something about rust, or we need to do something about we need to talk about some way to get a bunch of money outdoor right now to either residents or businesses or however we're going to do it, or we will lose this money. Tom, go ahead.
Was there any consideration to the medium priority items that the departments had requested?
Well, I'm kind of okay with all of them, but, you know, it's the council that's got to weigh in on that stuff. To me, some of the stuff that's, if these are medium priority things, some of the stuff on there seems like we really ought to do. Especially that, you know, the DRC list up there, if you look at that, they were talking about hand washing, having water for hand washing and things like that. I mean, at the DRC, we should be providing a water supply for people to wash their hands. The DRC, you know, the stuff for the library seems reasonable. That list of those medium priority things seems like reasonable things that we should be able to do. Council comment? Brittany?
Thank you. I am good to go ahead with the different department requests. I also do not have an issue with payments to Gustavus residents. I think that that would be a worthy thing to spend some of this money on.
Susan?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm all right with some of these medium important things, except for the fire department requests, which the 20,000 plus of their requests don't seem to be driven by, they were caused by COVID-19 to, you know, particularly the $500 high visibility coats. I don't get that. I think that if we spend $20,000 on that stuff, we're going to get told by the state that they are not due to COVID-19 and we're going to be on the hook for them. Thank you. Other than that, the others seem okay to me.
Well, I'm going to respond just to the issue of the reflective coats. Those reflective coats are for the safety of the volunteer fire department, and I can't see where anybody, any auditor in the feds would say that we can't buy PPE with this CARES Act money. The safety of our volunteers should be utmost in our minds, and I don't care if it costs us $500 each or $1,000 each. The safety of our volunteers and employees are of utmost importance, and I'm not in the mood to skimp on safety for our employees.
Yeah, I believe the that item is something that the city of Sitka had purchased with CARES Act. So I understand it, that's gone through I don't know if the state has responded to Sitka, but my understanding is that was one of their purchases for CARES Act funds.
Okay, any other comment on the medium priority list for city facilities? Okay, without unless I see some objection, I'll direct staff to start working on this medium priority list and start working on that. Hopefully that'll get us to our 135K, I hope. Any other discussion on, do we want to just let the issue of cash payments and this Rust thing just settle and we want to think about it more, or do we want to try to pursue one or the other? I haven't heard enough support one way. Phoebe had one more thing she wanted to mention, so I'm going to let Phoebe talk about that.
I just wanted to mention one first, that it doesn't appear we'll be hiring a public information officer. There's been no interest in that position that's been posted so far, so just that had been kind of on the lower end of the spreadsheet for payroll costs. But that hasn't moved forward at all. Just so folks are aware of that, Travis wanted me to pass that along. And then also Travis had mentioned that our staff meeting we had last week about the large tent that is set up down at the airport that was given to us from by the state of Alaska for our airport screeners. That tent is able to be set up as kind of a triage mobile shelter hospital setup, but the piece that did not come with it was a generator, and so that would be another and I don't have a dollar amount, but that would be another thing that we could complete the setup of that tent for future emergency use with the purchase of a generator. It's something else to
goes in.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would support CARES money spent on a generator for the tent. It was unclear to me on Monday, is the tent okay, or was it ripped when it was blown off its structure previously?
Okay, Travis, you have an answer for us?
Yep, I can answer that. The tent was okay. It was just the wind just blew off the roof section and pulled the spikes out of the sand. And, you know, the sand doesn't hold spikes down very well and hold that. So, but yes, tent's fine, 100%, no leakage, no holes. It's working just great for us now. And just to like add on to that generator, they gave us lighting for it. They gave us the power structure for it. They gave us everything, but they couldn't justify the power side of it. It's a fully insulated tent that can be hooked up and be done all winter. Sorry, I meant to write some stuff up for you guys for the council meeting, but this new mandate change and the technology, trying to get it to work to get all the people to fill out forms has totally taken up my time, and I've been working at the airport doing those things too, so I didn't get it in on time. Sorry. But this, I did request it from the state twice, and I've been declined for it at that time, so they suggested I should look and try CARES funding for it from our city council, so that's where I'm at with that. The one that we looked at getting was, if I was to buy it, I would love to buy the one that the company puts out that matches all of the equipment that they do. I don't have a price on that, but we looked at one that was equivalent to the same size of that, and that was like $7,000 at Home Depot. I would say it's probably a little bit more from the other company, but it's also made to work with their system really nicely.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I had some technical difficulty. Thanks, Travis, for that answer. I'm glad to hear that the tent's fine. I kind of like the idea of getting the generator that's built to go with the tent. So, if there's no objections, I'll have you work with Phoebe to identify the right generator and get it here, if that's okay with you. Okay, no objections to the generator. I guess Phoebe, you can work with Travis and get that going. Do we need any other discussions? I guess we'll have to, do we want to have more discussions on cash payments or Rust or? Susan, go ahead.
Not on that matter, but before we depart, I'd like to mention the Economic Stabilization Task Force meeting on the 20th. So come back to me.
Joe Clark, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Do we have a ballpark idea of how much more, there's a finite amount of time, how much money we have to allocate before the deadline?
Phoebe can talk to that, but I think it's we still have $461,770 to spend, but we've made some decisions here, so Phoebe probably has an update.
Thank you. It sounds like we still have quite a bit to go, though.
That would be a fair statement. Phoebe's looking at her other computer right now, trying to get the numbers fixed up here. So, there it is. Okay, cool. There we go. Go ahead, Phoebe.
Okay, I tried to make this a little clearer. Green is what we've actually is out the door. It's actually been written. The check's been written. The payment's been made. So that's up here in the top. This is what we've submitted from March through May. And then for the June payments, for July, what we submitted, and then this is August, but we have spent today, so that's not payroll or anything in it yet. And you can see here some of the subcategories that are included in this running total. I kind of have to break them. It's hard to keep track of them, the renewal and also have the other line items. You can see where they, what some of the things were that were spent. So that's why they're off the side here. Then down below here, I just updated the earmarked but unspent to include the medium priority for the department. So this is now this is the high priority over here. And so those have been what's unspent so far is listed here. Same with the local economic assistance grant. I sent out another reminder recruitment to local businesses today via email to try to encourage more people to apply and take advantage of that pot of money. There's still quite a bit left. And then some of the other things we discussed tonight, all these ones that aren't highlighted, they've been earmarked, but they have not yet been spent. If they all get spent as planned here, we're at 380, spent almost the whole first pot of money. I think this, unless something changes with a local grant, there's still going to be a chunk left on the table for that. We need to hit 305 to release the next payment, which would be 80% of our original payment. So that's where we are right now for spent and earmarked. And then we have other things down here below, especially continuing on with payroll. But that's kind of the status update, and I can email this spreadsheet out to everybody too, so you can play around with the numbers or look at them. But I know it's a lot on one page, but hopefully that helps with where we're at right now.
Thank you. Thank you, Phoebe.
So basically, just me looking at the numbers and just trying to do some math in my head, I really feel like we can easily spend 150K or so. Or maybe even a little more on some sort of rust or cash payments to residents and really do some good for some folks and still have plenty of money left over to fund all the things we'd like to fund. So any other comments or questions? Susan, go ahead.
Sorry, just quick question. The running total was 379,000 and the first allocation was 380.
What'd she say? Okay. Sorry, Susan, I'm not sure. I didn't catch you. I'm not sure the rest of the council did. Could you repeat that? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just asking a question about the running total column in B30 is 379,000 and the first allocation was 380,000.
Phoebe says correct.
So haven't we spent 100%?
No, that's earmarked. We haven't spent all those earmarks. The actual spent is only 169,913, the shaded numbers. If you'll notice, the biggest part of the unspent but obligated money is the $113,000 or so of money we set aside for small for grant business nonprofit grants.
So we've spent $113,990 and we earmarked $150,000?
No, we spent $169,913. BB is going to highlight it for you. So does that help you, Susan?
Yes, thank you. So of the 150 that we allocated, we've only spent 36,000.
Correct. Joe Vanderzen, I saw your hand go up. Go ahead, Joe. Okay, Joe, I have you next. Go ahead.
Yeah, as far as that Rust program there, paying AP&T might get kind of complicated because there are so many meters that are commercial in one form or another. Some of them are commercial and residents at the same time, and I'm not sure how you'd sort it out, but... possible equitable way might be just to focus on fuel. Everybody seems to need that in one form or another, whether it's diesel, gas, or propane. I just don't know how complicated it would be for, say, Rachel to sort that all out and keep track of who has gotten what, but at least it would just be a minimum amount of checks from the city going to one company. Thanks.
Joe Clark, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So my understanding is that if we do not spend the money that's already been allocated by the given timeline, that the city will not receive a second CARES funding package.
I'm not sure about additional CARES Act, a CARES Act 2 type thing coming to us. It's anybody's guess. As far as this money goes, we need to spend 80% of our first $381,000 to get the next payment of $125,000, and then we got to pay 80% of that to get the next $125,000. Yes, if we do not expend this total $631,680 before December 31st, we lose it. It goes back. It's no longer ours. It gets redistributed.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think Joe Vanderzanden's idea is a good one, and maybe we can get a lot more generous with that.
So maybe if I, maybe if we earmark $150,000 for some sort of fuel subsidy, is what I'm hearing, some sort of, that would include diesel, gas, or propane. Somehow outlined, somehow get staff to figure out how we could do that. I see a bunch of hands go up. Go ahead, Mike, I saw you first.
I think it's still more even if every, if you did it on electricity, because everybody buys electricity, and even those who use propane don't get it all from the dray. There's another supplier as well. So you'd still have to make it available for customers of the other supplier. But if you used electricity, I think when people applied for it, they just have to give their account number, and then the credit would go to that account. And it would only be presumably for residential accounts and not for commercial account. And that way you could distribute it to just about everybody in the community and only have one place to pay.
Okay, Joe Vanderzanden, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just about to echo what Mike said about there being two fuel distributors, so they would both have to be included in that. As far as the electricity, there are still a couple folks that are off-grid, so they'd have to be accounted for. But I don't see it being a very easy route to take.
Joe Clark, go ahead.
I have no problem with either of these ideas of fuel and electricity. Is there any problem with including both?
Well, it was my understanding that the council was interested in reducing the amount of checks that Phoebe would have to write. So the more entities that are checks being written to, the more I'm trying to understand what the council wants to do with this, and I'm not hearing a whole lot of consensus as to which way to go on this. So I'm as confused as anybody. Go ahead, Joe Clark.
My idea was one check to each entity, at the AP&T and the dray. So if it's a whole lot more complicated, then it might be a moot point. But we need to allocate these funds in a way that I guess benefits the community and the citizens as best we can. So it sounds like we're not meeting the mark on getting these funds out the door. So that's why I would like to see both of these ideas considered.
Tom, do you have something?
Yeah, so it's a reimbursable program. So if we cut a check to, say, the dray, it would be in reimbursement to money spent. So I guess theoretically the dray could carry the cost of whatever that amount was and then submit a bill for reimbursement to the city to qualify for this program. We can't pay forward. So I don't know if that complicates things or not. That's how the program's set up. Thanks.
Thank you.
Joe Vanderzand, go ahead.
Yes, is the burden of this, of who gets what or how much, is that on the city or is that on the individual to apply for it?
This is Cal. Joe, I think the people would have to apply for it no matter what. There was no way for us to evaluate whether that person is a resident or not unless they apply for it. Okay, I'm sensing the lack of energy, loss of energy or whatever on this. I think we're just going to have to go with the decisions we have so far. And I think folks have to think long and hard about how we want to distribute this, you know, a bunch of money, whether we want to take a Rust approach or we just want to just, you know, write checks to folks. You know, I don't know that we can discuss more tonight. I think I'm sensing quite a lack of energy, and I think it's time to adjourn. Any other comments? Okay, we'll adjourn for now, and we will leave. We'll have to somehow approach this discussion at some other time on what we're going to do about Rust or payments to residents.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to reiterate that the next meeting of the Economic Stabilization Task Force is going to be a week from tomorrow on August 20, and where we'll try to discuss asking people to come up with at least one big idea for future funding of Gustavus. I would particularly reach out to the members of the council who are going to be continuing into this next year of service, because we're going to have to do a lot of putting our heads together about what we're going to do once the COVID money runs out. So August 20, 5:30, hope to see you there.
Susan, go ahead. Okay, thanks, folks. If there's nothing else, we'll adjourn for now. Thank you.